Our scripture this morning is taken from Psalm and then a short passage from Peter. Psalm chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. And then from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you.
Thank you, Brent. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are your people, and we come under your word, the authority and the living power of your word. May we today experience that and submit to it, be encouraged by it, be challenged by it, and blessed, we pray, as we look to you in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going through a series that is about rising above, where it says in Isaiah 40 that we will mount up with wings as eagles as we put our hope, our trust in the Lord, and that God will raise us up above the real issues, and especially as we're going to be looking at different experiences of emotions that we are tethered with in our lives. And one that we're looking at today is fear. Now, in this country, there's a list of the greatest fears in everybody, in the population. And the top 10 include fear of snakes. That's the big one. That's right at the top. Fear of snakes. That's why Australians are so fearful. But seriously, fear of snakes, fear of spiders isn't on the top 10. Sorry, Rhonda, but you didn't make the top 10 with that one. But fear of heights, and fear of the dentist, fear of the dark, and fear of flying. And there's a whole lot of them. There's actually one down on the list somewhere. I'm not sure how far down it is, but it's called homolophobia, which is fear of sermons. And you're in trouble if you have that. Fear is the oldest and the strongest emotion of mankind, of humankind. It's the most primal emotion. We're born, and it's the first emotion we experience. Like, we're in this warm cocoon, and the walls are all around us, and we're just enjoying kicking our mom. And then suddenly, we're outside of those warm, lovely, soft walls, and it's cold, and someone's putting their finger down my throat, and someone's smacking my bottom, and hey, fear. So the baby cries. You probably cried too. It starts, and at the end of life, there is a fear of death among some people. The Bible talks about Jesus, who came to deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. And fear is a primal emotion that we all experience. What are some of the fears that you face in your life or have done? Like financial fears, Will we have enough to see us through our retirement now that this has happened and we lost that and in the stock market or whatever it might be? What will happen with our family who, whatever the situation is, or our health and job security and the future welfare of our family, maybe a terrorist attack. I don't know. There's all sorts of fears that we can experience in life, legitimate, real fears. And the Psalms, what I love about the Psalms is that they're honest. David and others who wrote the Psalms, they express honestly their emotions. They don't hold back. I mean, when David says, I was in turmoil and I struggle, and he experiences fear, as we're looking at today, but other emotions, anger and so on, they're raw, they're real, they're honest. And that's what I love about the Psalms. But they're expressed in prayer. And I love that, that the emotions that David and others went through, which were very real and expressed in an honest way, were then expressed in a prayer to God. And so often, nearly always in the Psalms, it then turns to trust in God. And that's what I wanted us to do today, to see that faith is the answer to fear. And so Psalm 3 is just about this. It's about David's fear and David's faith. So first of all, David's fear. You'll be happy. I've only got 2 points today. The first point, David's faith. His fear. And then we'll look at his faith. Now this, as you read at the beginning of the psalm, at the top of the introduction to it, it says, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. Absalom rebelled against his father, even though his father had been good to Absalom despite his rebellion earlier in life. And Absalom, in turning against his father, the king, he subtly and deceitfully pulled the nation with him against the greatest king that had ever sat on the throne of Israel, and we look back to him with great honor and respect, King David. And David had to flee with a few of his loyal men and women, and they fled for their lives. And David faced fear in the midst of all that was happening at this time. But this wasn't new for David. David's life was filled with overcoming fear. Even as a shepherd boy, a teenager out there with the sheep, it says that he killed a lion with his bare hands and a bear. If he didn't have fear when he faced a lion or when he faced a bear, then he would have been psycho. But he overcame those, and that actually strengthened him when he faced Goliath. Another opportunity for fear to stop him in his tracks and turn him around the other direction. And all the trained and muscular and wonderful army of Israel fled for their lives, and David, the young boy, stood up against this huge giant of a man and killed him. Fear was overcome by this young boy. No wonder God put him on the throne. And then he fled from Saul, from King Saul, because King Saul got jealous of him. He was so popular. And he fled for his life. And he went to a place where he was trying to escape. And he went to the Philistines. And the king of Gath heard about this man. David knew all about him. He was a mighty warrior, and he was a leader among his people. And so David was fearful of his life that the king of Gath would kill him. And it says there in 1 Samuel 21, David was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane and let dribble down his beard and so on. And then King Achish, whatever his name was, Achish, said, "Oh, he's not a problem. Let him alone." And so he escaped. But the psalm that he wrote about that incident is Psalm 43, and this is part of the psalm. It says, "I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my
fears.
He feared. All through his life he overcame fear. And now he's a fugitive again, but this time from his own son who sought to kill him to stop the opportunity of David returning and taking the throne back. Fear was very much a part of David's life, but overcoming fear was the evidence that we see in his life. So Absalom, what did Absalom do? Well, Absalom deceived the people. You read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 17. And you find there that he got alongside the people who were coming to the king and to the king's court because they had court cases, they had troubles, they had problems, they had issues they needed to be dealt with. And he'd sit at the gate and he'd pull them aside and say, "Hey, where are you from? And hey, look, if you go there, the king won't help you, but if you make me judge, and I'll look after you, and I'll take your case, I'll look after you, I'll speak for you, I'll stand up for you." And it says that he stole the hearts of the people, that he subtly worked to gain their allegiance. The prince was interested in their lives and their concerns, and so they saw this prince in new light. And so we have here what David says in the first verse. "O Lord, how many are my foes? How many have risen up against me?" What Absalom did, he usurped the throne. He called the people together and he presented himself as king, and he went up and took his place as king over Israel. And David had to flee for his life, knowing that that would mean his total death. And then this Absalom went up onto the roof of the palace in view of everybody and took all of his David's concubines, and he had intimate relationships with each one publicly to show to actually, if you like, defile his wives and his concubines. Again, just total insult and rejection of his father. So David and his band of loyal men and women fled for their lives. And in the midst of that, David writes these words, "O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me?" But not just Absalom's rebellion. We see also the accusation of the people. It goes on in verse 2 to say, David writes, "Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him." You see, David took the throne after Saul was rejected by God. Saul, King Saul, was rejected by God. God, he was not a man of faith. And God rejected him and turned and put David on the throne. Now, the people were saying, well, God's now rejecting David. And of course, Absalom was a part of that whole initiative. But David saw that he had forfeited his right to be king, that he was no longer in power. He was not on the throne. He had been booted out, if you like. He didn't have the people with him, and he had no moral right. Why? If he looked back on his life, he had taken Bathsheba and killed Bathsheba's husband, and so he had no moral right to rule. So he had nothing to go on, and he'd been rejected. And the people were saying, hey, God will not deliver him. He's blown it. It's over. And you know, sometimes we feel we've got no right to come to God and pray for a situation that we fear. Right? Forgetting that God is a God of grace. David didn't forget that. David had no ultimate control. He couldn't force his son Absalom to stop doing this. He couldn't force the people to change their mind. He couldn't change history, what happened in his life and the way he'd messed up. He couldn't do anything. Everything was out of his control. And you know what? That's when we fear, is when we have events or people or circumstances that are out of our control. That's what makes us fear. You have no control over your health. Tomorrow, things could change automatically, just so quickly. And we worry. We don't worry about the things we've got control over. We worry about the things we've got no control over. You think about the things you're worried about. You think of the things that cause fear. All of them are outside of your control. But they're not out of God's control. Totally in His control. Even Job went through the worst. And God put the boundaries in and said, thus far, no further. You're not to touch him, you're not to touch to begin with, and then allowed things to happen. But God allowed it. God set the boundaries. God was in control. Even with the evil that happened in his life. Where one moment all is well, one moment all is hell, somebody said. Or the next moment all is hell. Life is so unpredictable. There's no guarantees. There's no formulas. There's no promises. There's no means to live a trouble-free life. We all know that. And so we can be affected, gripped by fear about things we have no control over. But guess who does have control? And next, David was not only had no ultimate control over things or people, but he was overwhelmed. We read in Psalm 55, which is another psalm relating to this same story, the story of Absalom and David's fleeing from his son for his life. And we read in Psalm 55 these words in verses 4 to 6, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me." Hey, this is David, the king, the warrior who, with his army, defeated all the nations around who'd come against him. And he was the great king and a mighty warrior. And he says, "My heart is in anguish. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest." You ever feel that way? Overwhelmed by fear. It can have that effect on you. Philosophers and psychologists talk about anxiety disorders. And there is a healthy fear and there is a destructive fear. The Bible says, don't be anxious about anything. That's a destructive fear. But if you're chased by a rogue elephant like I was, I better tell the story correctly. When I was a teenager, my parents were in India and I was there with them, of course. And my father was teaching in a Christian missionary school. And we were driving through the Mysore jungles and on our way to Mysore. And the rogue elephants are elephants that have been booted out, like the male that lost his dominance in the little tribe or whatever they are, the group of, what do you call a group of elephants? A herd. Oh, well, there you go, a herd of elephants. So, and they become rogue. And anything white, they pick up and destroy or go against. And so all the roadside signs are black, painted black with white writing on them, because if they're white with black writing, they'd be all torn up and thrown away by these rogue elephants. Well, we were driving down this main highway, which is just a two-way highway. It wasn't divided or anything. As we're driving along, here's this elephant by himself. Now, an elephant by itself means it could well be rogue. So what do you do? And so my dad drove as far as he could on the other side of the road, and then once we got past the elephant, he sped off and away he went as fast as we could go, because fear causes us to react in action against something that threatens us, right? That's natural, that's good. God gave us fear as a normal good emotion. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes an unhealthy fear, where it's an abiding sense of anxiety, instead of motivating us to action, it actually inhibits us, immobilizes us, and debilitates us. It paralyzes us. That is not the kind of fear that God intended. That is an unhealthy, a destructive fear. And so God wants us to come to Him, giving Him our fears, whether they be legitimate, healthy fears, which are real, or those ones that are just anxiety and worries that just seem to sit with us and cover us and be with us morning, noon, and night. Then we come to verse 3, and it says this. Verse 3 starts, but. Don't you love the buts in the Bible? But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I call out to the Lord and He answers me from His holy mountain. Here we have, as we're moving into our second point, David's faith. His fear was real, but his faith overcame his fear. He says, but you're a shield around me. Now that's interesting, because shields you hold at your front. You might have one that's curved and sort of comes around to the sides a bit. But the shield that David's talking about is one that surrounds him. He saw God as a shield, not just in the front, but in behind, or at the sides, everywhere. He was totally encircled by God's protective power. You, Lord, are a shield around me. It reminds me of that verse in Psalm 125, where it says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. And you think of it this way, that if God is a shield around us, then nothing can come through that shield unless He allows it. Now, He doesn't shield us from all problems and difficulties. We all have health issues that we know that God hasn't shielded us from that. Or if we don't, then you will do one day. But God, we can trust God to protect us from that which is not His will. If He allows something through, it is for a purpose, to grow us in love and holiness and truth and all that He wants to do in our lives, or to prepare us for a bigger problem that's going to face us in the future. God is wise, and God is loving, and God is good, but He puts a shield around me, says David. I can trust Him. He's allowed this for a reason, but I can trust Him. He's my shield. Secondly, He's my glory, and He bestows glory on me and lifts up my head. Now that's army talk. That's warrior talk. That's talking about when you win the battle, then you are exalted in glory and your head is lifted high. When you lose the battle, your head is down and there's no glory. He's talking about winning the battle. And He's saying, you, Lord, if I conquer, it's because You are the one who gives me that and lifts up my head so I can face whatever it is that is the next part of my life as I move on. David's faith in his hour of despair was in his God. Corrie ten Boom, that lady and her sister who helped care for and protect many Jewish people during the time of the Gestapo and the Nazis in Europe. she was in the concentration camp in Ravensbrück, and she was with her sister was sentenced to death. And later she wrote these words, "From the depths of my despair, God is deeper still." The despair in her heart was deep. And she recognized that it was deep. It was over. She was in despair. But from that depth, she looked down and she said, but God was even deeper still. He was there, even at the lowest point, but that's where it ended, the lowest point for my despair, but God was deeper still. And you can believe that. Amen. Then we come, that was David's reliance. He relied on the Lord. He turned to him, the shield and his glory and the lifter of his head. But now we come to David's rest. And I love this. It says in verse 5, I lie down and sleep. When you've got fear, forget about sleep. But when you've got fear overcome by faith, you can sleep. You still might need melatonin, but you'll sleep. Psalm 4, the next psalm, is actually a psalm written at the same time again as Psalm 3, in the same historical incident. And it says in Psalm 4, verse 8, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, will make me dwell in safety. You see, rest, the rest of faith, that you entrust your situation to Him and leave it there and rest. Oh, that God wants us to rest when we're fearful. It doesn't take away the problem. Absalom was still out there with his army chasing him. But he rested. He trusted with a rest in his God. In Psalm 9, verse 10, we read, those who know your name will put their trust in you. Those who know God, what you're like, who you are and your character and your person, those who know your name, all that you're revealed to be, those ones will trust in you. And so we need to look at our problems, our things that we fear, in the light of God, instead of looking at God in the shadow of our problems. I want to repeat that. Look at your problems in the light of God, who He is, instead of looking at God in the light, or in the shadow, should I say, of your problems. You see, we are robbed of our peace and rest when we fear. We're robbed of that when we doubt, first of all, His goodness and love. When you don't really believe that He personally loves you and He's good, and even bad things are ultimately for your good. When we question His goodness, we can't trust Him completely. We don't like what God is doing. We want Him to explain Himself and let us judge whether He really does love us or whether He does really have our best interests at heart. So we sit on the judgment throne and say, God, let's see if You really do love me. No. We need to trust He does love and He is good. Secondly, we are robbed of our peace and our rest when we dispute His wisdom, when we don't really believe that He is wise in letting this happen to me. Oh God, if You'd only been there, if I'd only sorted this out before, if only that hadn't have happened. But we question His wisdom. And thirdly, we deny His sovereignty, and that robs us of peace and rest. That He is in control. Remember the disciples with Jesus in the boat? He was sleeping while they were really worried and fearful because of the storm. He was asleep. He said one word, peace be still. He was sovereign.
that they were fearful. We've been away at a pastor's retreat up at Quaken Haven over this last week for a couple of days. And we concentrated our thoughts around Psalm 46, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And it goes on to say, be still and know that I am God. Now, by the way, that's not talking to David and to the Christians. That's talking to if you read the psalm, it's talking about the armies coming against and the worlds, as it were, pitted against God's people. And God speaks from heaven to these armies and says, be still and know that I am God. Before and after that verse, you'll see it's all about the armies and the enemies of God. He's speaking to them, not to us. He's the one who's sovereign, Lord of the universe, Lord of the nations. Be still, I'm God. You better know it. That's why we can trust him. And going back to Psalm 55, again, which David wrote at this time of Absalom, I read to you where it says, my heart is in anguish, a fear and trembling have come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. But in the verse 22 in that psalm, a little further down in the psalm, he writes these words, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. That's what it means to rest. That is what it means to trust. It's to cast your burden, your worries, your fears on the Lord. Are you bearing your burdens on you, or are you letting him bear the burden? Because that's what it means. And it's exactly what we had read to us in 1 Peter, where it says there to cast all your anxieties upon him. For he cares for you. You, yes, you, personally. He cares, so give them to him. I want to finish with reading Psalm 27. It'll go up there, but it's not the whole psalm, but I've picked verses out of it. But it's the general gist of the psalm, and it reads like this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me and devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. I remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's sing about it.